from the 209 Ray. I'd be happy with at least Manny M next year. Like Ray says, you have to pull in one fish. Stop talking about bites. And from the 408, what do you guys think of trading prospects for Burns or Reynolds? That's from Matt and Tracy. Corbin Burns or Brian Reynolds, of course.
Well, first of all,
Pirates.
Who wants their prospects since they haven't produced anything? And secondly, why would the Pirates, if they're going to move Brian Reynolds, not essentially put him up for auction and get better offers from other teams?
You'd have to part with the likes of a Kyle Harrison, right, to make that happen.
Well, at least. I mean, just, you know, because a prospect is not useful until it becomes either part of another trade or he ends up on your team.
Yeah.
So what's in it for the Pirates?
That's the other problem when you're not developing the young players. Yeah. Well, you don't have the young players that can play for you, nor do you have the young players that you can trade for somebody on another team that you'd really want to have.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And that's the, you know, third part of this sword. It's just, you know, you don't want to spend recklessly in your terms. You don't have anything in the farm system, and you don't really have anything to barter with. Who do you think a contender would want off the Giants roster if they were making a postseason run?
I'd want Logan Webb.
Yeah. And?
And I'd want Kyle Harrison.
And?
I'd want probably, well, it depends who I am. But, I mean, the Giants have some players that I could see as, you know, fitting a need. If I got those two guys, I'd feel like I was getting a pretty good haul.
Okay, but you could
Giants
only mention...
can't afford to trade.
But the point is, you only mentioned two guys.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And that's
Marco Luciano. But he's got back problems already.
Yeah, I mean, who would touch that?
Elliot Ramos.
Really?
He barreled up a few last year.
He barreled up a few. Yeah, you could hear it off the bat. I know. No, I mean, that's the other part of their problem is their minor leagues have not produced either players they can use or players they can move.
I don't disagree with
and
you.
And that's why they're in the jam they're in. And if, you know...
And that's why it becomes every year, Ray. It's like a flea market. Oh, boy, we need some major league players. This guy's hurt. He was really good. Yeah, we'll bring him on board. This guy, yeah, he's available. He's on a one-year deal. He's trying to prove his worth so he can make more money elsewhere. And that's why it has this kind of this temporary feel. It's a souffle that's not built to last. And that's why fans feel like, come on, how can I get emotionally attached to that? That is like, you know, rooting for the A's sometimes, it's like rooting for the African-American ensign in the opening scenes of the old Star Trek. That guy's not going to be around very long.
You better explain that better.
Well, because they'd have like Captain Kirk and Spock and they'd be on the planet with an ensign, you know, and if he was an African-American ensign in the red shirt in the opening scenes, he's probably not going to be around very long.
Well, but they also did that with white ensigns in the red shirt, too.
So. Okay, if you say so.
Well, you know, all I'm saying is the Giants are in this bizarre kind of gridlock where they're unwilling to spend to get out of it. And they're unable to become good via their own devices. Because whatever you want to say about Brian Sabian, when he took a mediocre team and turned it into a good one again, Lincecum, Kane, Bumgarner, Posey, Belt, Sandoval,
Crawford,
homegrown Crawford,
mm-hmm.
You know, they had drafted those guys and they developed them. And, you know, other than Posey, none of them are going to be Hall of Famers. And I think Posey might be a coin flip, but that's another argument for another day. But they were guys who could play all the time and pitch their turn. And that's the difference between analytics and scouting. If you're a really good scout, you'll find major league players. If you're in analytics, you need the input of the scouts to make your judgments. Like, Brian Sabian was not anti-analytics, but he believed if he hired the right people to look at players the right way, he could find major leaguers. And his history here was that he did.
You know, years ago, I heard a story about, you know, Daryl Morey with the Rockets.
Morey.
Yeah, Morey. It's actually Morey. It's not Morey, but it's not Morey. It's Morey. Anyway, Daryl Morey.
Who told you that?
That's the way his name is pronounced. But it's not Morey. You're right. Anyway, he was a real analytics guy. Jeff Petrie, who used to run the Kings. He was not an analytics guy, but Daryl Morey said, you know what, we end up with the same guys. So different methods, to your point. I mean, just because you don't use analytics, you can still find the guys.
Well, that everybody uses analytics.
An efficient player is an efficient player.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the best way to do this is to see what your eyes tell you and then see if the analytics back it up. And if the analytics back it up, then you've got science and judgment on your side. If you say, here's what the analytics show, and then you go see them, you know, I think you're more likely to be disappointed if you started with analytics as the reason why you got interested in a guy.
From the 707, Giants have a better shot of signing Ray to the lineup than getting a superstar. That's why they got to develop one. But that's Farhan's failure to this point. Inability to do that.
Well,
I mean, close to doing that.
Luciano's been bad luck, but you can't have bad luck on all these guys. You know, and it's now been 8 years since Sabian was running the shop, and there's been a significant fall off in player development. I mean, my explanation is probably too simple, but for the most part, Sabian got major leaguers. Bobby Evans didn't. Farhan Zaidi hasn't. That can change, but right now the demarcation line is pretty clear.
Do you think Farhan's on thin ice? Apparently he's signed through, his extension runs through this year, but it's been reported he's also extended through next year, although we don't know exactly the extent of that.
I don't think he's in trouble at all.
Really?
Certainly not yet. I mean, look, if they go 68 and 94, yeah, there's going to be some hell to pay, but I think by and large, they bought into what a lot of teams have bought into, which is I want a numbers cruncher so they can explain to me the business of signing this guy versus that guy, as opposed to John Middleton, who says, I've seen that guy be a great player, let's pay him.
Uh-huh.
And I think at some point the Giants need to get a breakthrough player that way. I mean, the Warriors didn't get a free agent for forever until Andre Iguodala took a chance after the Nuggets lost to them in the playoffs in 13. He just said, that's the team I want to play for. And he made the jump, and all of a sudden, now other free agents would take the Warriors seriously. And as it turns out, Iguodala was brilliant because within 2 years, he had a ring.
Yeah, and he was crucial in establishing that culture also later on when Steve Kerr took over and they said, Andre, you could come off the bench. Andre freaking Iguodala. And he's like, well, if the team's better for it, I'll do it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
it took a long time.
But he did it. But he did
it. He did it, but it took a lot of cajoling.
Sure. But he did it, and that set a tone culture-wise for the whole thing. Yeah. If we could just get him on the floor at all.
Well, they're telling you how they're going to, they've been telling you how they're going to use him all year. When the playoffs happen, that's when we're expecting him to do things.
All right.
Playoffs haven't happened yet.